Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
Hey, this is Blade Summers telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
This is Bernard Chang.
Dan Jurgens.
This is Yoko McCann from Funko.
This is Zach from Diamond Select Toys.
This is Angelo cosplaying as Negan.
My name is Kevin, a Beyond fan, and I'm telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
Like, three quarters of that movie, solid.
As far as Mr. Freeze goes, nice to meet you.
Welcome, Neo-Gothamites, to Above and Batman Beyond, a pretty shway show devoted entirely to the futuristic Bat Beyond. I am your co-host, Benjamin David. Welcome back to our NYCC interview series, Beyond. Today's episode featuring Lauren Tom, the voice of Dana Tan on Batman Beyond. Tom was also in the acclaimed film Joy Luck Club. She was Ross's girlfriend, Julie, on Friends, and the voice of Amy Wong on Futurama. We've also combined today's NYCC interview with my New York Comic Con behind-the-scenes Bat Chat Beyond with co-host Eli Benson at Batman underscore Beyond underscore fan page on Instagram. So today you're going to have to hear what it was like to meet cast and crew of Batman Beyond at New York Con, including Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, today's guest Lauren Tom, and four others. So stay tuned for more interviews from Con, as well as our regularly scheduled Bat Chat Beyonds right here on Above and Batman Beyond. You can find the show you're listening to now on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other pod places. You can find me, Benjamin David, at Benjamin of David on Instagram and Facebook. My writing at collectible506.com. We are Above and Batman Beyond on YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget about all the awesome videos we have on there, including NYCC interview coverage. Our NYCC interview series Beyond Part 1 is now posted with a full interview from Kevin Conroy, once again the voice of Batman, right here in the audio, and then long extended clips, again on the Above and Batman Beyond YouTube channel. Then we have upcoming interviews with Will Friedle, the voice of Batman Beyond. We got Andrea Romano, acclaimed voice director. We got James Tucker, producer and director, and Alan Burnett, the legendary producer. We are part of the CBI Network, Comic Book INTL, on all our social media, as well as our Comic Book INTL YouTube channel. Please subscribe to all that stuff. Subscribe to all the shows on our network. We got Update Nerd Style going. We got DC Collecticast. New episodes of Bat Yard's Finest are back, so please subscribe to all that stuff. And then, as well as helping us out, please subscribe, or I should say, help us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/Batman Beyond Podcast. Once again, that's Patreon.com/Batman Beyond Podcast. Whatever you can contribute to our network really helps us out. And again, we got four shows consistently going. All this New York Comic Con coverage really helps us out. And please subscribe, rate, and review all the shows, once again, on our network. All of them are on iTunes. Whatever you can subscribe, rate, and review on really helps us out. Finally, last episode was about our 20th Blu-ray box set. I should say the 20th Blu-ray box set of Batman Beyond, the series, the complete animated series for the 20th anniversary with a a Funko Pop. A bunch of sweet stuff in that box set. Please buy the box set if you are a Beyond fan, and especially if you want the show to return. Producers, writers, people involved have said that the show is much more likely to return, and they'd be interested in bringing it back if enough units of this Blu-ray get sold and there's enough popularity and interest. So it's on you to bring back the to bring back Batman Beyond. And check out our last episode about the box set. So first, today you're going to hear my roundtable interview with Lauren Tom, and then it's going to be followed by today's behind-the-scenes look at our NYCC interview series, Beyond.
This is Christopher Carter telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
You were on both Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond. What does it feel like to be such a big part of Batman's animated history?
Oh, I feel grateful for it all because I grew up watching, I don't know, I'm dating myself, but I grew up watching Adam West and in Batman and loved it and just never thought that, you know, they would write in that his girlfriend would be Asian. That was such a wonderful surprise and exciting and just as social media grew for me to realize what a gigantic fandom, because I knew that it was a big deal, Batman, but I had no idea that people were so into it after all these decades and everything. So it's been a blessing, and I'm so glad that they asked me to come, you know, because Alan just said I was in about a third of the episodes, and I didn't, you know, it's so hard to remember, you know, that long ago.
You brought up the idea of, you said you liked the idea that they were casting an Asian person for Dana. That was one of my questions, that, you know, now minority casting is like an everyday topic, and people are like, you know, why don't you? You might as well. The character should or shouldn't be this, or let's be real about this time, you know, it's in the future and just a city. You know, it's not everyone's going to be one type of person in any city. So it's cool that, but that's 20 years ago. Speaking of the 20th, like, that was a big deal, more of a big deal back then. So talk about how that felt. Just, I guess, expand on what you said before, especially for that time.
Yeah, it was very exciting because, you know, that was just about the same time that I was on Friends also. And she was the only person of color before Aisha Taylor came on. And so I was like, okay, things are happening. Things are shaking up and this is going to be great. And then it did take another 25 years for Crazy Rich Asians to come out. But having said that, it's all good, and it's just a movement that'll keep going in that direction. And people are talking about it a lot more now, but it's still kind of like, you know, we still have to be vocal about trying to stake out our place in some of these, you know, projects and things.
Well, it's also fascinating that when done right, and I think Crazy Rich Asians is an example, the focus isn't the fact that everyone's Asian. You just ignore that, and they're just people.
Right,
and
exactly.
People in the relationships, and you know, you certainly see a cross section of the types of people.
Yes.
Crazy Rich, and it's as anyone else in the world. And
right.
And I think that the, you know,
or the rich people anyway.
But I mean, I think it shows that the humanity is shared by everybody.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
The human experience.
Right. Right.
In doing animation, especially with Batman Beyond, was that a difficult thing to make sure that the character was, she was drawn Asian, but were there certain things that you wanted to bring to it that maybe?
Actually, maybe the opposite, in the sense that I wanted it to be like more American. Uh-huh. And just, she happens to be Asian, because I'm American. Like, my parents were born here too. And so I loved the fact that they weren't making any deal of it at all. She just happens to be Asian. And, you know, I grew up in this northern suburb of Chicago, Highland Park, where, you know, like, everyone was Jewish. And I just kind of thought that I was a white Jewish girl until I was, you know, 8 years old. I had no idea I was any different, you know. But so I liked that. And then, you know, and then Joy Luck Club and some of the other projects are also important to show culture, and it's not like I didn't grow up with any culture, but it's really great to show both sides, because there's millions of people who, for example, speak with an Asian accent, and I never was the kind of actor that's like, I will never do a character that's because my grandma spoke that way, and I wanted to kind of honor her if I could bring it like as authentic as possible.
Caricature.
And not a caricature. I mean, sometimes with the writing, you know, I had to work with the writers a little bit to say, you know, you really can't say that I just ate my dog. You know, you can't do that. That's not going to go over well. But, you know.
You're a strong woman.
But, so, I think, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. I'm still, I'm on, like, L.A. time still. Well, I was on a show called Andy Mac for the last 3 years. It was on Disney. I don't know if they could.
They
might have seen it, but because I was proud of it, because it had so much diversity in it, and there were gigantic opportunities for kids to find themselves, to be able to identify. Because we had, you know, like the first gay character come out on a Disney show, And then, you know, there was a deaf girl, there was a black girl, but, you know, there was three generations that starred three Asian women. So all of these new, you know, it was just great, because I feel like at the end of the day, like, you know, the goal is to just for us as humans to not feel so alone. And when I was growing up, I had nobody that I could relate to that I saw reflected back to me on screen. And so I just felt particularly proud of this last show because of that, because I feel like it's fixing that problem going forward.
What was it like recording episodes with other actors on Batman Beyond?
Well, the beautiful part of recording this, because not every show is like this, but we recorded it like a radio play. So we did it live. We could work off of each other. And you can't really replace that, because a lot of other shows will just bring you in one at a time. And then the voice director, like Andrea's amazing, but you can't really recreate what happens between two people. So it's been really great. And I know that Mark Hamill wasn't in, you know, the series, but when we did the movie, that was really exciting for him to come in. He has like just endless, hilarious, amazing stories. And I remember that my brother was a big Star Trek fan, so I get them all confused. I get Star Wars and Star Trek confused, then I get DC and Marvel confused. Anyway, I brought in the huge, what do you call it, the starship?
Millennium Falcon.
I brought it in for him to sign, and it was like gigantic. It took up my whole trunk. That's how much I love my brother.
This was another one of my questions for Lauren Tom. I said, you mentioned Joy Luck Club, Friends, then Batman Beyond, then Futurama. In terms of range, looking at your IMDb alone, I think your range really speaks for itself, and that's such a good quality of acting.
You're sweet. Well, I just think that, you know, as we live our lives, I mean, you know, we all have such interesting stories to tell. And just using the experience of what happened to you. So I'm glad that I became a mom. I'm glad that, you know, I mean, I'm not glad that bad things have happened to me, but I've been through certain experiences that I would never be able to tap into if that hadn't happened. And so I love that saying about, like, that it doesn't matter what happens to you, what matters is what you do with what happens. So as an actor, I feel like it's only helped me that, you know, I can relate to lots of different types of characters and situations.
Andrea Romano's reputation has preceded her.
Yes.
And you and Will have both spoken very highly of her today. What makes that a unique experience, having someone like her as your voice director?
Yeah, it just makes my job so easy when someone as sharp as Andrea is leading, because all you have to do is just kind of open your mouth and it comes out. Like, you probably noticed she talks really quickly. So our sessions were much faster than any other show I've ever worked on, because she just gets the job done. And it's like laser focus. It's not that it's not fun, but it's sort of like you have to be very awake and just with her, right with her. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're slowing the whole thing down. It's like, come on, let's get with the program. But I love that, because I was like carrying my babies when right after I'd given birth, and she would get me in and out and go, this is exactly what to do. And, you know, like, she would lead me into it, because sometimes you couldn't make the group record. And it was a little scary, because you're right, her reputation did, you know, precede her. I mean, I can't imagine what it'd be for Will to have your first job as that, because I think I was already on King of the Hill before that for a couple of years. So it's not like I was complete newbie, but I could tell that I was working with a very highly trained professional when I walked into her booth.
How was that experience different in, say, Futurama, in terms of recording?
So, yeah, Futurama's like, oh man, it's like the class, working, like, we were like the class, John and all those guys are class clowns. All those class clowns in one room, it took forever to record, but we were having fun. We were laughing all day long. But, and sometimes they would use some of those outtakes and stuff. but it wasn't diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
But it was a different show. Like this is, right. This is like substance darker, a little bit more serious.
So have your children watched it yet at all?
Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good question. They've watched all of my current things. So like Disenchantment and Troll Hunters and all those things. But I don't know if, you know what? I'm going to give it to them when the DVDs come out.
Merry Christmas.
Have at it. No, I think they'll like it.
It's a really cool character. I'm on Dana's
hand. Thank you.
Great actor.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Does being a mother have an influence on the roles that you take?
You know what? I guess it does, because I didn't think I would do a Disney series. But because I had kids, and my younger one was the exact age what their demographic was going for.
Okay.
And because it dealt with so many issues, it dealt with like anxiety, depression, when your parents divorce, coming out, figuring out your sexuality, you know, all these like really deep topics for a Disney show. I was like, what the heck? So I read the scripts and I was like, you know what? I need to do this. And the fact that they didn't make me audition, that's also always a because I really hate auditioning more than anything. Even after all these years, it just never gets any easier.
This was another one of my questions. I said, why did you think you would never work for Disney, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, because it's sort of like, you know, I didn't want to be thought of as an actor that just does kids shows. You know, just because of the body of work that I had prior. Like, and then working like with Billy Bob Thornton now on Goliath was a great juxtaposition to that, because that's super, super dark. And then Disney couldn't be any like more Mickey Mouse, you know. So it was a nice...
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take her away from you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Hey, what's up, guys? Slushy here, a Beyond fan, telling you guys to go above and Batman Beyond.
Welcome back, Eli.
Boy. A lot has happened, huh?
Oh, my God. This is my face at Con, apparently, for everything I get excited about, because it's just overwhelming.
Is he happy? Is he mad? Is he angry? What is he? He's intense. My God. He's been.
Yes. Very intense. And stuff. Intense stuff happening. The NYCC interview series Beyond, baby. I cannot believe. So I've been telling people that as rough as this has been, emotionally and physically and mentally, to get all this coverage for New York Comic Con, it's still what's awesome about it, it's very meta, because it's like, who is this guy producing all this stuff? But I got to meet Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, Will Friedle, Lauren Tom, Alan Burnett, James Tucker, the list goes on, and Andrea Romano. If that's six, that's everybody.
That's incredible.
So Conroy was the big one, obviously, but then Friedle, and I didn't expect Lauren Tom, because this was at New York Comic Con again, as it sounds. I called it the NYCC interview series Beyond, which we're going to get into in a minute, which has already begun, in fact. There's already an episode posted, the audio is posted, and there are three videos already posted to the Above and Batman Beyond YouTube channel. I'm going to put out for each member of the cast and crew that I just listed for Batman Beyond. From New York Comic Con, I'm going to do three videos each, because it'll be like 2.5-3 minutes per video at like 10-minute interviews. So that's how most of them are going to go. Again, there is one already posted for Conroy. I still haven't shown you what is edited and totally done. I literally just, all I have to do is make the YouTube thumbnail, and that's it for the next video for Conroy. And I got to say also, like, my editing skills, like the filmmaking... Yeah, I do want to have you watch it before I post this one, but it's exciting, man. So content's getting stepped up. The interviews couldn't be more stepped up. For a show, as I said, called Above and Batman Beyond, holy, like, how is this happening?
You're really delivering.
Good Lord. And, like, for it to be my personal interest as well, and to be such a niche thing, like, I feel like if we had a Batman the Animated podcast, like, if we were doing something similar to, like, Justin Michael's show.
Right. to meet all those people and to do what happened last year with the Blu-ray release of the Batman the Animated Series thing. Not as niche, that's Batman.
Right.
But like for Batman Beyond, it's a more cult niche thing, and that was the point of the podcast.
Right.
From Get is to have a thing where it's like, would they even ever have a panel for this? And we had to have what was called the DC AU wish list beyond, including a Blu-ray release for something like, you knew the animated series one was coming.
Of course.
Everyone knew that was coming. And not to take away from it, it's because it was so great.
It's an animated cornerstone.
We didn't even know if we'd get a Blu-ray, let alone a 20th panel. Press, my first year ever with Press Access, as we talked about in the pre-show, as I talked about on last episode posted, like, all this coming together, insane.
It really is just kind of a testament to how things can come together if you stick with not only yourself and, you know, your talents, and you allow your talents to grow, but, you know, you follow your passion. This was a passion project that, you know, was just grown to a very high degree. And that's incredible to see. As someone who once listened to the show and now someone who's part of it, it's really incredible to see, like, the progress that you've made and just, I mean, the deliverance you've brought to this show. Yeah. Incredible.
Apparently, yeah. It's funny, too, because as you said, like, as a fan, and I said it, too, of the our passion project, it's the best way to put it, like, this is evidence of, I wanted to hear these interviews. I wanted the answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like I needed a guy to do it and just put myself in that place.
Yeah.
That's what's so passionate about it. Like, that's how passionate this project is. Whereas I think a lot of creative projects, you do it either for money or you do it to build a portfolio, or it's somewhat within your wheelhouse, or it's not necessarily something this deeply a part of who you are. Like, I am such a fan of this stuff. I was telling Eli, like, there were people at the Beyond Roundtable who at one point were like, I'm going to go to the Harley Quinn animated roundtable, because that was more in their wheelhouse. They were more interested in that. I couldn't comprehend that because of how passionate I am for the people sitting at that roundtable. That to me is more, you can't, like, whatever success I will ever have from here on in, like, this is so much of, this would be one of the things that I would want any of that success to bring me. It's like, why do you want a successful job? To do the thing you really want, right?
Right.
It's like, or access to the thing you want. This is like everything I would want. And I've always been a behind the scenes guy. Like, always been the guy who's like, I want the DVD extras. I want the interviews. I want to see how the sausage is made. And then, like, to be the dude, I'll give you an example, like, of the press thing too. It was crazy. And hearing the questions as a fan, I listened to the podcast Sci-Fi Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this older dude who's been doing it for a while. Like, it sounds to me like he's been doing, like, podcasting when people were still like, podcast? Like, what is this, like, what is this audio thing of, like, he's old school about it, but gets these insane interviews. Goes to all the cons, all this press stuff. He'll have, like, he does this one series now called Bite, and it's sound bites of, like, Brad Pitt will be on there. Anybody, like, name a new geek-related movie. This guy is at that press event and puts it into either short form with this new Bite series he does, or other audio stuff.
Wow.
And I'm listening to his Batman Beyond coverage, and Conroy starts talking, and it's Conroy's answer to my question.
Really?
That's the audio, because if you are sitting at that press roundtable, that's the audio that you're hearing. It's like my shit. I like, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And also, like press, the beginning of his podcast too is always like real legit advertisers, and it's like, and that aside, writers at that table, whoever. It's just nuts that...
That's incredible.
Like, I'm there.
That's incredible. Wow. You know, I as I said off air, I don't know, like, how you kept yourself together and composed in the presence of people who quite literally, like, shaped our lives in many ways, right?
For someone as obsessed as we are, yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to keep it together. I would have been an emotional wreck.
Like last year meeting Conrad, I was telling you him off air, like I was telling you off air that it last year starstruck. I never really knew what that term quite meant. I had met some famous people. It was nothing like that. I was like, I almost couldn't breathe for a minute. I didn't know what to do. Physically, I didn't know like where to stand. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. It was weird, dude.
Right.
Like very weird physiological response to seeing a human just standing in a room.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this guy is so much of who I am and what I do. And to not have expected to see him too. That was the other thing. I think this, there was build up to it. I had, you know,
coached
done all this press
a little
stuff.
Bit. Yeah.
Like there was build up. So when Batman walks in the room,
Batman's in the room.
Because Batman walked in the room.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Wow.
So the way it worked, what we're going to do today on this episode is talk about the NYCC interview series, beyond which I'll talk about logistically in a minute too, why we're releasing the interviews, as, doing it as such. Again, we have the Conroy one posted. We're going to post throughout normal episodes of the show, the next five or six probably. Per talent, let's call it, or per cast and crew member, you're going to get an interview from Con along with normal episodes of the show. So the show of Above and Batman Beyond, the Bat Chat Beyond, Eli, everybody, I know you guys will miss Eli too much. There'll be revolt if we don't have Eli on the show.
Well, yeah.
And Eli can also comment on the interviews. And the point is that these interviews will continue with the show as such. Instead of giving you guys like chunks of kind of like two or three episodes, I looked at everything. It's 11 interviews altogether. All the people I talked to at Con, 11 interviews, and then 40 to 45 minutes of audio. Not to say that all of that is viable audio, but 40 to 45 minutes of sound that I do have from the panel, the Batman Beyond 20th panel and Blu-ray celebration from New York Comic Con. So with all that, I'm like, let's just release it over time. But with that today, again, as you just got about 10 minutes, it looks like, of behind the scenes stuff of meeting Batman. I am way too fortunate. I'm jealous of myself, Eli. That's how insane as a fan it is. Like, I want to hear these stories as much as you.
It's incredible.
Of what it was like. So I'm going to talk about kind of behind the scenes of what it was like to meet all these people, to do the press. And again, this was the press roundtable for the Batman Beyond 20th celebration put on by Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. They did the same thing in the same press release that I also got through my writing at C506. Gracias to Johan Morales Beyond this year. Good God. First year, as I said, with press passes to do this is insane. It's all because of C506 and all my editors there. So thank you again. But with that coverage, and there's also, in addition to the videos and the podcast already posted, there's already some writing on C506 as well. So Collectible 506, just look me up, Benjamin David. I wrote, and it might be posted by the time this, it will be posted by the time this episode is up. I did a piece for Conroy, I did a piece for Friedel, and then there is pending a piece for Lauren Tom, which that I am extra proud of as a quick tangent journalistically, because we got into the Lauren Tom is the voice of Dana Tan on Batman Beyond. Actually, sorry, real quick before we get into that, because I do want to get into that. Today, behind the scenes of the press roundtable stuff put on by Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. So real quick, let me finish the Lauren Tom thought.
Yes, yes.
And then I'll let you ask me questions, or I'll just start talking.
Sure, yeah.
So if that's all right. To start the behind the scenes part. To give you guys Eli, because I asked Eli ahead of time, I'm like, I have so much, as you could tell, to talk about, but I also wanted to feel a bit harnessed insofar as like directed, if you will, like what would you have as a fan want to hear about? And we thought it'd be cool. Like not everybody has this access. And again, I still can't even believe I have it. So to talk about what it was like to meet all these people, that's what we'll hit. But yeah, so the Lauren Tom thing I just posted, I'm extra proud of that journalistically. Again, this is the voice of Dana Tan on Batman Beyond. She was also Julie on Friends, the classic mega hit Friends series, which, so that came up without me even asking. And sidebar, I'm a huge Friends fan. I think a lot of it because I grew up on the show.
Sure.
Then the reruns like crazy. You know, born in 1985, that show being coming out 94, hitting like crazy, that almost immediately it was an immediate hit. So you're 9, 10 years old when Friends hits. That show is everything to you. This is appointment television, must-see TV. You know, before the age of binging, and now kids are binging the same show on Netflix. It's nuts. So I'm like, this isn't about Friends, whatever. I don't want to bring up Friends to Lauren Tom. But as you can just tell, I have huge tangent level, huge interest in other things that can bring about tangents. But she brought it up, so I played it out. I commented on what she had already brought up at the roundtable. So again, this is a press roundtable, and the way it works is that each piece of talent or member of talent comes up to a table. The press all sits at a table, and you don't get up as a member of press. So I was sitting there with about 7 or 8 other people. My friend Nadia, Gotham Geek Girl, shout out, she was at another table. So you're herded like cattle into this room, and then everybody scrambles for a table. And it's like, no, you can only sit at those 3 tables. And people start like filling up at other tables. I'm like, I don't know where you guys are going, but the talent's not going to that table. Like, squeeze into a table. I don't care what you have to do. To the point where like Nadia and I couldn't even sit at the same table. I'm like, I gotta go to that table. She's like, but what about? I'm like, I gotta go. Because we were both running out of space. Like, right. It was that kind of like scrambly. So you sit down and then you wait for people to come up. So Lauren Tom comes up. And other people, the point of that is to say that like things will come up as a discussion at a press roundtable versus a one-on-one interview, which is called, it's funny, I'm forgetting this now. Step and repeat. Sorry.
Okay.
Pause. Brain fart. Step and repeat. This is almost a month ago at this point. So there's step and repeat or the press roundtable. You get to choose as a member of press which you want to do.
Right.
If it was step and repeat, it would have been me. And I think next year what I'm going to do, because I'm going to go there with a film crew next year, like an official film crew, and I'm going to be interviewing people one-on-one. So it's like me, like just me with Kevin Conroy. There's a Batman Beyond thing in the background. And it would have been just us interviewing versus a round table when it's Conroy sits down at the table.
I didn't know you got a choice between the two.
I didn't know either. So that was pretty cool. And depending on the press event, each one is different. I think we talked about this during the pre-show too. I wasn't quite sure. I knew I had press passes. I knew I had whatever press access I would get. But depending on how the event was coordinated around the panel, and sometimes, you know, full-on press stuff isn't necessarily, usually is if there's a panel. If all those people are in one place, it's for press, let's be real. But it's different every time. Like, mm-hmm. There could have been a call process where it's like kind of like the president we talked about, I think. And you just call out your question and they call on like a huge crowd. There's roundtables, there's step and repeat, there's different stuff. So this was less one-on-one. And somebody had brought up something, or she started talking about Lauren Tom in this interview about she liked that they were casting a real Asian person for an Asian character on Batman Beyond. And I had in my list of questions minority casting, because I knew this was the 90s. Mm-hmm. And now minority casting is something that is an everyday conversation, whether you're on a good side of it or not,
right,
or a realistic side, even if it's not, let's, you know, lump you into anything prejudicial or let alone racist, just the idea of like, do you even know what you're talking about when it comes to like, in this case, a future city? And I put in my piece, I don't even know if it was necessarily something that I would have rewritten, but it's already out there. So, and I wrote, I'm like, you better believe not all of his friends are going to be white. Like, right. Not all of Terry's friends are going to be white.
Right.
And we got not only Dana Tan cast as Lauren Tom, who is a real Asian person. You also got, she's Chinese American. You also got, Cree Summer cast as Max Gibson, mm-hmm. on the show, a real black actress cast as a black character. Two close friends, or one of them a girlfriend of our main hero.
Right.
And it's the girlfriend of a hero, not the villain, not some neutral character. Like, the hero is closely related, or sorry, you know, closely intimate with and has close friends with, and then he even works with a person of color on the show. It's fantastic.
That is awesome.
But this is something we take for granted now, and some people might even say like, oh, it's forced down your throat, and you have conversations like that now. First of all, that's a different conversation again. But this is, you have to rewind 20 years.
Absolutely.
This is the 20th of Beyond. And it was also cool because then that brought up to me the 20th of Beyond. This was a part of a question I had, as I said. But she also brought up Friends, so it was a bonus of going like, yeah, I was also the only person of color cast on that show until Aisha Tyler, which was like years later, like late Friends.
Right.
So Julie, she was the girlfriend of Ross on Friends, Chinese American woman cast on a show of, and this is another thing I put in there, and I know I'm not the first person or the last to say, like 620 somethings all living in New York City in the mid 90s and they're all white. Like, that's a great, like, yeah, that's representative of America's, I think I put in the piece of history's top American melting pots. Like, that's real representative. Like, come on. So, you know, Future City and all this stuff, and it tied into Batman Beyond. And I said, so I commented on that, and then she brought up the Friends thing, and I was so proud to, like, be part of that conversation, and to be a Friends kid, like, that. And like, I'll go back and watch reruns of that now, and it's like, that is Julie and Dana, and I met her. It's nuts.
It's so surreal. I mean, I even have like, I don't even know the word, like secondhand, like existentialism through you. Like, it's just these people that you see on TV and as kids, like you fantasize like having a discussion with them, but like actually being in the same room as them. And to have these talking points, I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Like Ross and Rachel.
Dude.
She is the love triangle between Ross and Rachel before Ross and Rachel was even a thing. And then she's what brought them together because of the love triangle.
Right.
Like Julie comes back and we meet her. And it was so weird too, because I'll watch Friends as like while I'm eating food and stuff. It's like background for me because I've seen it all. And it's just like, you know, comfort food at this point. To go to sleep, whatever. Sometimes I normally don't watch TV to go to sleep, but Friends is one of those, is the point.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like audio for me.
Yeah.
And it was so weird that like yesterday I posted the interview with Lauren Tom talking about Friends and minority casting. And it's literally, and I always watch the show backward when I rewatch it. And it was the episode introducing Julie. She comes off the plane and I'm like, I'm about to meet Julie from Friends. Like, and I just met Julie from Friends. It was nuts.
I mean, that's one of those things that, like, I'm glad you got to experience that because I'm a little younger than you, so Friends wasn't, like, a huge thing for me growing up. I have friends who really like the show, and I have some experience with the show. I'm familiar with the cast, but, like, I think you're the perfect person to have been in that situation because you have an appreciation for that show and Batman Beyond. So,
right.
You know, that's just, that's really cool to hear.
Exactly.
That's really cool to hear.
Thank you. Yeah. Like I was a Friends kid just as much of a, as I was a Beyond kid.
Yeah.
And like seeing all those things happen in real time, was cool. And even back then, like we noticed, it's not like I wasn't dumb enough to notice. Everyone noticed like, wow, Ross's girlfriend's not white.
Right.
Like, what the hell? And then, of course, Aisha Tyler, the second not white person on the whole show, happens to also be Ross's girlfriend. I'm like, what? The show. And it ended in 2004. It's not even like that old of a show,
no.
But that's where we were. That's still where we were at that time. And then to sit down and interview, like minority casting has always been a fascinating thing to me. And it's something that means something. And all that aside from like the super nerdy Batman related stuff, as a pop culture, as you said, I'm like a media guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just all meant so much to sit down and like, I almost started crying in that moment of having Dana Tan tell me how sweet I am for telling her how much range she has as an actress. I mean, this woman was in she goes from the Joy Luck Club to Friends to Batman Beyond to Futurama. That's Lauren Tom. And like I'm sitting down talking to her and telling her that, she's like, "You're so sweet." I'm like, I'm melting right now.
I just turned into Gumby.
Like, how is this real? Nuts.
Wow.
So, yeah, man, that was the Lauren Tom thing. And again, I posted all that stuff before, so that's just like one of my behind the scenes things. I explained I wanted to talk about the press roundtable too, so I got into how that
yeah.
worked.
Yeah.
You know what? I said in the intro, too, about the Kevin Conroy intro or Kevin Conroy commentary. We didn't end up watching that video before recording. So at this point, maybe we'll do that next time and have a full-on commentary for him.
Okay, yeah, but I do
I definitely we'll talk about Conroy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Conroy. We're going to talk about Friedel.
I know I said up front we're going to have like a commentary on his interview because the full interview, again, is posted. Let's not worry about that now. We'll kind of, again...
I do
want to
make...
If you want to ask me questions, if you want to stop at any point, I know I've been talking for a bit.
Oh, I just wanted to make one comment on Conroy, at least based on what I saw.
Whatever, yeah.
He is, and I mean, a lot of actors and TV personalities pretend to be this, but without having actually met him first person, he seems like your perfect case of like just such a genuine person and such a kind person. The amount of respect and enthusiasm he puts in the responses and I mean the questions he tell like he answers for people. I was watching
He's so enthusiastic.
He is.
What I'm going to show you today, you're going to be even more blown away.
I was watching one of the clips he put up on YouTube and he was talking about how like someone asked him you know, how's it feel to be playing Bruce Wayne like live action.
Yeah, so this is for the CW crossover and that was one of the interviews I have posted so far, just a quick plug, like on the YouTube channel and in the interview that's posted audio,
mm-hmm.
that was the first thing that came up. People were like, what's up with you in live action? Like you're finally playing him in live action.
Yeah. And, you know, just the answer he gave, you know, about like, because he immediately made it not about him. He was like, you know, I was overwhelmed, but then I looked at Ruby Rose and I immediately went to like a calmer place. And I feel like that's always kind of what he is when he's giving interviews. Like, he's always so humble and so...
Crediting other people.
Really playing himself down. Of course everyone loves him. Of course everyone knows that he's Batman. He's, like, the Batman. Like, he's the fucking man.
He is Batman. It's nuts.
But he's so humble. He's so, you know, I wasn't sure about this and that. But then I look at this person and this person restores my confidence kind of thing. I'm sorry. I think he's like one of the coolest people. And that was just so incredible to be able to see. Even like in a behind the scenes, like round table kind of thing.
Move the mic. There you go.
I'll eat it. Okay. How about that? it was really cool to see. And he's just a really cool guy. So I wanted to throw that out there.
No, I agree. Like he as a fan of this stuff, again, this is all passion project for me, not just as a member of press and someone interviewing somebody, but like, or a slight fan, for him to be my hero and to be a fan. Because I always respect more the people who are those press junkets. Like, as a member of press, I always say those press junkets. Like, now I'm the junket guy, like asking a potential. But that's also why I put so much time into figuring out what to ask them that hopefully they're not asked, at least in the same way, over and over. So for them to be good people and that enthusiastic, like, talk about an actor, he's being passionate about stuff that is like, how many times has he told these stories?
Right.
To be that passionate still is so important in that business, and like, especially as an actor and especially as someone who is for their job, it's press. Like, he's on the other side of what I'm so excited to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that, you know, rolls his eyes at my job. Or I should say, I'm the guy that he rolls his eyes at, but he doesn't, because he truly wants to sit there and tell you about how cool it is to be Batman. Because he does know how cool it is.
It is. I mean, he's just so humble and passionate. I can't say anything. He's a really cool guy.
Like, for that to be the character of basis for our show, to have him as the main talent, be that giving,
right?
Like, imagine if, you know, we had some Han Solo fan show. Good luck. Like, Harrison Ford doesn't give a shit in interviews, and I'm not saying he should. Like, again, he's been asked the same questions for the past 50 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't knock the dude. I wouldn't agree with. I saw a video of him. A dude built the entire Millennium Falcon. You saw that?
I saw that.
Lego, and he broke it.
I heard that was satirical.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
I wouldn't see. The thing is, I believe it. That's the problem.
I do believe it.
So, point is, Kevin Conner would never break a huge Lego set, and he. I'm just so grateful, as you just said, like we couldn't be luckier to have a to have that as our hero mm-hmm. of title.
Absolutely, absolutely, dude.
Ugh, nuts. Yeah, when he sat down, like one of the first things too, again, the first thing they asked, it was about the live action thing about the CW crossover. Someone said, you know, you've been playing the character of Batman for over, and he immediately gets interrupted by another guy. This is what's also fun about the round table, is it's a bunch of nerds sitting around. So it's like a conversation. It's a discussion. It's more of like a podcast, really.
Sure.
Like it's better for that medium, I guess.
Sure.
And he's like, so you've been playing the character of Batman for this many years, and then you just hear out of nowhere, no, he is Batman. Like the most emphatic interruption of like a legit member of press by another member of press going, no, he is Batman. And everyone just starts dying laughing. Also, I have to tell you guys, this is might be one of the biggest highlights of my entire life, not just meeting Kevin Conroy and interviewing him, making him laugh. I made him like belt out laughing like twice, I think. It was awesome. So one time it was, the end, and I go, he's telling all this stuff about how Bruce Wayne. So I asked my question, which this one singular question took me like, I was telling Eli behind the scenes, setting up for Con, all the things that I had to do to get ready. One of them, and I'm glad I didn't go to all 4 days, as I was saying, because it gave me extra time to do homework of writing of like, what am I going to say to like, what could I possibly say? How much could I not suck is really in what's going on in my brain. How stupid could I not sound, hopefully, when I meet Batman? So I'm obsessively... I wrote for one night. I literally sat. I didn't leave the computer for probably 6 hours one night.
I remember when we talked on the phone like beforehand.
How did I sound that night?
Like you had a very calmed panicness to you. Okay, so one more time. How does this question sound? Oh no.
It was very much like, it felt like philosophy writing and or any kind of term paper writing where you want to get a thesis,
mm-hmm.
if you will, because it's a bunch of ideas that you know most of which are bullshit, but you do have one good point, right. And you have to get it all into that one sentence because you can't waste people's time. It's the clock is ticking. You have 10 minutes total. When I say there's a 10-minute interview, it's 10 minutes of that's the total time that 7 to 8 people get to ask Batman questions. So that's the pressure I'm feeling.
Oh, I didn't know it was like that was 10 minutes split amongst all of
you. That's it.
Okay. I thought it was 10 minutes per. I don't know how many people were at one table.
And that's the other cool thing. Like the step and repeat thing is cool because you can guarantee your question. It is one of those things of like it would have been kind of perfect for what I was doing.
Sure.
But I still got my question in. Because the point is, the pressure is that you might not get your question in.
Right.
Depending on... And you also, it's... For me, I think it's good because I'm improvisational and I'm used to the podcast format.
Yeah.
And it also turns out to be something I found out, a big strength that I have through the interviews that I did at Con. People were very complimentary and surprised as to like how improvisational I am. Like mm-hmm. how in the moment I am.
Yeah.
With interviews of how... And I didn't... give myself, I guess, enough credit about that in the past because to me it was all just a podcast. I'm like,
right.
Well, you got to keep it going.
Right.
But so many people when they do interviews, these are members of press. They're not per se conversational folks. These are people who write down questions, ask the questions, and write about the questions. That's a totally different skill set than sitting down and having a conversation with somebody.
Right.
And I'm not trying to like toot my own horn. It just happens to be something that really works out journalistically because especially at a round table, it is good interview-wise. Like any like basic journalism 101, apparently, they'll tell you, try to keep a conversation going versus dry back and forth. I have my list of questions. You answer them.
Sure.
And that's also what pisses off a celebs too, of especially the higher profile people. Mm-hmm. And why, even speaking of Friends, apparently the 25th is this year, and every member of talent, every friend turned down interviews for the 25th because they know they're going to be asked the same questions the 25th time.
Not to be thrown at a tangent, but isn't there, and I'm not in the Friends loop, but isn't there aren't they having some type of episode or something to
reunion?
Reunion episode of sorts.
If so, that's like the biggest, I think I would have known that. I mean, they might be talking about it.
Unless it was something that someone said they wanted, but I thought.
Everyone wants it for the 25th.
Yeah.
But they are so, the talent is like, no. I mean, they made more money than any humans ever made. And they also have like, they were instantaneously famous for a very long time. And like, they were the most famous people for a while. And it's just, why? Like, and the whole point of the show,
probably just
too,
tired of it, I guess.
Yeah, and the other idea of the show, too, is like, they're in their 20s. That's the point. The pitch of the show is 6-20-somethings in New York. What are you going to talk about? What are you doing when you're 50? Revisiting. I mean, the writers are strong enough. I know that for a fact because David Crane just did that show episodes with Joey from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is a big tangent, but on the idea of like 20th re-releases and 25th, it is something to keep in mind too with Batman Beyond, of like, if you are going to bring it back, what works about Beyond is that it's in any future. What doesn't work about Friends is it's 6-20-somethings living in New York. Unless they all have 20-somethings that maybe could be friends and there's that idea of friends somewhere. But it's like, if they're not in New York, there's not six of them and they're not friends in their 20s. It's not friends.
But I guess, so maybe what people would want is maybe some type of reunion movie where it's like them... Here, almost like an epilogue of sorts. Like,
yeah, I would watch.
Yeah, like,
a movie I'd watch.
Right, like, you know, this is where they are now after we left
but
them.
But even that, it's like, I don't give a frig where they are. I saw 240 episodes of Will They, Won't They. I don't need to ask that question anymore. I get it. Ross is with Rachel. They had a baby together. It was non-traditional, which is the lesson of Friends. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know. Whereas Beyond, you bring back Beyond, it's in any future. It's full of rogues. It's, which got talked about. James Tucker, I believe it was. I think it was Tucker and or Alan Burnett, one of the producers at the press roundtable. Again, I got to talk to them, which was another... Gah! As a producer of things and hopeful producer slash writer, if not director, Alan Burnett, he goes back to with the power of Batman to me versus Beyond, like meaning Conroy versus Friedle,
sure,
or animated series versus Beyond, is my age of being 7 when it came out, as I've said several times, growing up with Conroy and then him being old Bruce. So Alan Burnett to be one of the people who not only formed Beyond but then the original architects of the animated series, an early producer of that, a guy who, writing wise fun fact, that show wasn't, let's say, there wasn't as much of an emphasis on writing, I think we talked about this, until Burnett came on to the animated series.
Right.
I think Burnett is he who brought on Paul Dini and some of the other guys, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it another producer who brought on Burnett and Dini?
I'm not positive.
I think,
on that.
If I'm not mistaken, though, like, don't 100% quote me, but I'm pretty sure Burnett is one of the reasons that the writing really kicked off strong. Like, again, they were treating it more like a cartoon and there wasn't as much of an emphasis is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bruce Timm had an amazing vision. the pitch together was together and was sold and all that. The show was already running. I think there were already a couple episodes in. But I think there was feedback at some level or just thought that writing needed to be improved. And Alan Burnett was instrumental from day one of the whole DCAU.
Yeah, I accredit.
He is one of the best people who's ever written stuff ever.
No, absolutely. I consider him and Dini, like, they are genius. Like, they're brilliant.
Yeah, easily. And I don't use the term genius lightly. Those two are geniuses.
They are.
They are. And especially for what we, like, you know, what we talk about is animated based, right? Which is, at its core, at least in this case, adaptations or, let's call them slight adaptations, thematic adaptations mm-hmm. of comics, of older stories. For them to have, like, reshaped, you know, talk about Batman's 80th, that character the way that they did and bring it into an audience, again, for us as animated kids and producers, writers, producers, that's the other great thing about them. They didn't just sit around and write and, like, have ideas. They really were the guys running those shows, showrunners.
They sculpted it.
They sculpted it. But yeah, stay tuned for all that coverage. And this has been, I just want to close in saying, like, especially with, it's been so incredible to talk to you about this stuff. I have been dying to sit down with you of all people. not just also, like, I would have wanted to have you on even if you weren't the co-host and close friend at this point. I would want to have you specifically as a Batman Beyond expert to be like, dude, this is what we talked about, or let's comment in the interviews, or this is what it was like. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your time and just, oh, this was so much fun.
It's been so fun to listen to and so surreal to listen to. So thank you, as always, for having me here. It's great.
I just feel like this show, I know that this show has really stepped it up after those interviews. Like, post that episode that we just posted, like, we are in a new game of podcasting with those interviews, dude.
We're in the end game now.
It's the end game. So with that, I have been Benjamin.
I've been Eli.
Telling you to go above.
And Batman Beyond.
All right, guys, that is it for today's New York Comic Con Behind the Scenes Bat Chat Beyond with co-host Eli Benson at Batman_Beyond_fanpage on Instagram. So today you got to hear what it was like to meet cast and crew of Batman Beyond at New York Con this year, including Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. I do have more stories about that coming up. Will Friedle, Batman Beyond, and four others. So the interviews we still have to post again. Conroy is already posted, so check out two episodes ago. Last episode was the Blu-ray box set, so please buy that as well. But again, upcoming interviews, we got Will Friedle, the voice of Batman Beyond. We also got today we got Lauren Tom, the voice of Dan Tan. Then we have Andrea Romano, acclaimed voice director, legendary voice director. Then we got Alan Burnett, producer, and James Tucker. So we got a bunch of more interviews coming here on the NYCC interview series Beyond. But again, as we did today, we're going to couple it with Bat Chat Beyonds with Eli, because you guys will revolt without Eli. Once again, you can find the show you're listening to now on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other pod places. Find me, Benjamin David, at Benjamin of David on Instagram, as well as Facebook. My writing at collectible506.com. Again, that's collectible506.com. We are Above and Batman Beyond on YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, guys. Don't forget about that. Part one, once again, of our NYCC interview series Beyond, now posted the full interview of Conroy here on audio, and video clips are on the YouTube channel. We are part of the CBI Network, Comic Book INTL, on all social media, as well as our network YouTube channel, Comic Book INTL. Subscribe to all our shows, Update Nerd Style, DC Collecticast, new episodes of Bat Yard's Finest are back. Patreon.com/Batman Beyond Podcast really helps out all of our shows here in the network. Patreon.com/Batman Beyond Podcast, and subscribe, rate, and review all our shows as well.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
Peace.
Later.
And happy post-con. With the remote. Unsuccessful.
Fail. More bloopers.
Bloopers!